Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Dock Sports Services. Welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, and back, as always, my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, what's good with you?
Hey, what's going on, Kelsey? How you doing?
I'm good. Another week in sports, so all smiles on my face. And joining us, as always, is sports analyst Tyrone Poole. Tyrone, how are you?
How you doing, Kelsey? Ray, it's good to be on again with you guys. Another exciting week. Let's get it on.
I'm excited. You already gave me the football countdown music, so you know we're going to talk football later in the show. And so everyone listening, yes, we have a lot to talk about, so it's still early on, but you'll have to tune in to the full one-hour show today. And what that means is time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. Now, we always like to kick off the show with a history lesson, so for that, I will kick it over to my co-host, Ray Jones.
All right, Kelsey, this week in sports history, I want to take us back to January 14th, 1951. Yes, 1951. That was the first NFL Pro Bowl. We had the AFC beat the NFC 28-27. And, of course, the MVP of that game was Otto Graham, the Cleveland Browns quarterback. So, take it way back to 1951. How about you, Kelsey?
You just gave me a smile. I mean, thinking about the Cleveland Browns being that good and winning things. But, anyways, I'm going to kick it over to basketball. And I'm going to go a couple years after 1953, when we had the third NBA All-Star game, where the West beat the East 79-75 at Fort Wayne, Indiana. And now I'll give it over to Tyrone.
Well, I'm going to jump into my DeLorean time machine. That's Back to the Future. January 18th, 1958, rookie left wing Willie O'Ree makes his debut for the Boston Bruins in a 3-0 victory. O'Ree was first African-American to appear in the NHL.
That is huge, and we're glad to see that tour have appeared since then, right?
But we
still have to see more brothers, I think, in the NHL. But I think it's going to get better in 2019.
Yeah, maybe they need to warm up the ice a little bit.
I'm all for that. You will see me more in the stands once they do warm it up. But I think I forgot to give the date on mine. Mine was January 13th, 1953. Now, I won't waste any time because there's lots happening in the sports world, and I know everybody wants to get into it. So let's switch over now to sports around the nation, where the NFL playoffs, of course, are the top stories. So let's kick it off. The Indianapolis Colts versus the Kansas City Chiefs, 13-31 was your final score. And, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs were victorious, and they now have been propelled into the AFC Championship game, where they will play Tyrone's New England Patriots. So I will kick it off with Tyrone as our football expert and as a former football player. What did you think of this matchup?
The Colts and the Chiefs. First thing I saw in that game was the fact that the Chiefs, within the two quarters, they scored two touchdowns in the first quarter. They scored 10 points in the second quarter. So that's 24 points right there. In a playoff setting, when you get a lead like that in the playoffs, you're 24 points, and it's not even halftime. Usually that spells disaster for the opposing team. And when you have a home field advantage, the crowd gets into the game. You know, a lot of things can happen. For the coach, you know, luck. We saw the game. Everybody saw it, the way he was throwing the ball. His first pass wasn't, you know, that beautiful of a pass. And I just think the Colts came in and were not ready to play, which it showed, being beaten 31-13. So the best team won. I thought it would have been a better game. I thought the Colts would have definitely put up a better fight, but they didn't. Kansas City's moving on.
And, you know, everyone in Arrowhead is excited about that. And he talked about it. I mean, the Chiefs got the early lead. He talked about the score at the half. And then if you compare the first downs, 18 to just the Colts four is already used to spell disaster and trouble. I'm going to switch over to Ray now. Some other things people have been worried about, Ray, are some of the Kansas City Chiefs' injuries that have happened. Some people that are day-to-day are still Eric Berry, you have Ware, you have O'Daniel. I mean, do you think the Chiefs will be okay as they head into their next game this weekend?
I think the Chiefs are riding a high wave right now. You know, they have that high-powered offense. And I think they're going to push forward. I really root for Andy Reid. I want to see him get over that hurdle. He's usually not very successful in the playoffs. So I'm really hoping that he kind of gets past the Patriots. You know, I'm always a Patriots hater. I just feel like I never want to see them prosper. Sorry, Tyrone. And then, like I said, I'm a fan of Andy Reid. So I want to see him prosper. So I'm really rooting for the Chiefs to get this one. And hopefully the injuries don't hinder them too much on the defensive side. You know, Tom Brady is still the GOAT, regardless of my opinions of the team. So the Chiefs are going to need everybody healthy, everybody ready to go. And they're going to need Patrick Mahomes to have a great game, better than the game they had earlier in the year when they played him. Because it's definitely going to be another shootout. So they're just going to have to perform on all cylinders.
Yeah, Mahomes, we're expecting just a huge game for him. I mean, the pressure is on. When you play against the Patriots, you kind of have to be pretty perfect if it feels like to advance. So now we're going to switch over to the next game everyone's talking about. The Dallas Cowboys versus the L.A. Rams. I am not going to get on the Cowboys like our guy Stephen A. Smith was and do all those insults to them. I'm hurting for them. I truly am. The final score in this one was closer. It was 22-30, and I'll start with you this time, Ray. What went wrong with Dallas?
Well, first, you know what went wrong? They're the Dallas Cowboys. Did you really expect them to continue their...
I mean, you're making us lose all our Cowboys fans.
I mean, at some point, you have to understand it's still the Cowboys. They're not necessarily going to be. They granted the defense have been playing lights out for the last few weeks, and we want to be honest. The defense has been kind of somewhat been carrying them. Granted, Ezekiel Elliott's been performing well, but at some point, you had to understand that the Rams, their high powered offense was not going to be stopped. C.J. Anderson had a monster game. Then you had Todd Gurley, who still put up his great numbers, and the Cowboys just kind of looked defeated early on. That running game just kept pounding. And at some point, it seems like they just took the wheel from them. The Cowboys don't really have that much of an explosive offense to come back from a deficit. So you could kind of see it early that they weren't going to really make a run in this game as long as the Rams were successful on the ground the way they were.
I mean, you said it. It was all that two roles for the Dallas Cowboys. You talked about how powerful Los Angeles' ground game was. They had a franchise playoff record, 273 yards resting from the opening drive to the final first down of the game. So obviously, running was working for them. And this year, your thoughts, Tyrone, as you watched this game, I mean, do you think the LA Rams have what it takes to possibly bring a championship home to the beautiful city of Angels?
I think they do. The one thing they have going for them is youth. And I start with the coach, Todd McVay, 32 years old, the youngest coach in NFL history to win a playoff game. He's bringing excitement to Los Angeles. Now, I did see them try to surf the fans to try to see the stars. And there wasn't too many stars out there like you would see at the Lakers game. But they are trying to rejuvenate their franchise. I still believe that Los Angeles was a Raiders city. And I think if the Raiders were playing there, then you would probably definitely have a lot of people out there. But give the Rams credit. Todd McVay, you know, he's doing a wonderful job with bringing energy and youth. And you know what they say about Los Angeles is, never rains there, and it's always sunny, so what more can you ask for?
What more can you ask for? Well, I'll give you a little bit more of what you can ask for. The TV people are very happy about this game because Saturday night's battle drew a huge rating on Fox. It pulled in more than 34 million viewers. According to the Fox, you guys, it was the most watched Saturday primetime game ever on Fox, okay, whether it was regular season or postseason. So, also, the money's coming in with, I guess, the L.A. fan base watching their team. Now let's switch over to another L.A. team, the L.A. Chargers, versus the New England Patriots. And this one, I feel like I'm going to have to start with you, Tyrone. As a former New England Patriot, what went right with Tom Brady and the team's 41-28 win?
Again, just like the Chiefs and the Colts, look at the first two quarters, 14 points by the Patriots. In the second quarter, 21 points. Once you get up on a team and it's in a playoff setting and you're the visiting team, and both of those teams, even though the Colts are up north, when you play in a cold environment like that and you can get up on a team very quickly, now they start thinking about the weather. So for the Patriots, their offense was clicking. They came out and went down the field, Tom Brady, of course, doing his thing. Sonny Michel was adding in, you know, pounding the ground with the ball. So they really didn't have to rely on Gronkowski that much. But that just goes to show again how great that organization is as far as adapting, and that's why they've been able to win. I say it all the time. You need these three letters when you play any type of sports or even in life. You need IQ, which is intelligent quotient. You need the EQ, the emotional quotient. But the most gifted thing that's going to help you rise above the rest is called AQ, adjustability, adversity quotient. And that's what the Patriots are great at, is making adjustments, making those changes, and other teams don't make them quite as good. So with the Patriots playing the way they did this past weekend, and the mastermind on the sideline and on the field, I think, you know, teams are pretty much, I don't care who they're playing, they're going to be, the team will be scared. Kansas City, I know they're nervous about the Patriots coming in. Of course, they're going to say, you know, we're not, but back of their mind, you know, they are saying, hey, go back and pull up that Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl game, and these guys are down 28-3 with less than a quarter or so to play, and they came back and pulled it off. So even though the Chiefs may say they're not worried, they got to be a little worried.
Ooh, you brought up that game, Tom. You know, I'm supposed to be in Atlanta soon for the Super Bowl. I don't want that hate to come towards me from Atlanta. You know they're trying to erase that game from their memory, but you talked about it. I mean, the Patriots have always seemed to find a way to bounce back. And that being said, let me put it over to you, Ray. What went wrong with the L.A. Chargers, and how are they able to just get throttled over by the New England Patriots?
I think Tyrone pretty much touched on it. Like you said, early on, they just dominated on the ground with Sonny Michel. He had 24 carries for 129 yards and ended with 3 touchdowns. At halftime, the game was pretty much done for. 21 points in the second quarter, 14 in the first quarter, and the Chargers only had 7 in the whole first half. Once they get a lead like that and the run game is pounding and pounding and pounding, you beat a team into submission, and the Chargers just couldn't recover from that after halftime. No matter what they did, they could not stop the run. They couldn't stop the bleeding. Julian Edelman still put up 151 yards in the air, so there was not much they can do. There weren't any adjustments they can make. They couldn't stop anyone on the field. And the Chargers, unfortunately, they went out pretty much with their tail between their legs. I was really rooting for, you know, Philip Rivers to advance. So he finally beat Tom Brady. He's like 0-9 against Tom Brady in his career. I really wanted to see him succeed, and there was nothing they can do about it, man. You got to give it up to the Patriots. They did it once again. A lot of teams doubted them. A lot of players doubted them. A lot of reporters doubted them. The media doubted them, and they just did what they do. I definitely thought the Chargers were going to perform a little better. It was quite disappointing. I was kind of looking forward to seeing, you know, maybe a potential LA Rams versus LA Chargers Super Bowl, but that went out the window. That went out the window really quick. So get your hats off to the Patriots. They performed well.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes you excited for the next games that we look forward to. And I mean, just staying with that, we know how great the Patriots are. We're going to switch over to a city that was great last year as the defending Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, they played the Houdat Nation and the New Orleans Saints, and the Eagles fell short. I mean, this one I think is kind of a give or take. I think everyone, like the Patriots, are riding high on the new. On the New Orleans Saints, let me go to you, Tyrone. I mean, can Drew Brees and his crew be stopped?
You know, what makes that offense go is just like the same thing in New England. You have a coach and you have a quarterback. You have an extension of the sideline on the field. And Drew Brees, he's phenomenal. He's probably one of the most underrated, under-the-radar quarterbacks that you see out there. People, yeah, they talk about, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, but I like Drew Brees. He's in my top echelon of quarterbacks. I like the offense. They are timing. When that back foot, whether it's a 3-step or it's a 5-step, 7-step, when Drew Brees, when his foot hits, that back foot hits, that ball is coming out. That's what makes their offense so potent. And on top of that, they're playing with a defense. So unlike the previous years, you know, they were trying to outscore people. Now, they're still putting up points. But now they feel like they got a defense that can actually slow down the opposition, get the ball back to their steamy, hot offense, and they put points up on the board. But again, you know, they made great adjustments this past weekend with the Eagles. You know, the Eagles came, when I saw the game, I said, oh, man, you know, Nick Foles, he's about to do it again. But, again, adjustments, AQ. And that's what they did, and the Saints are moving on to the championship game.
moving on to the championship game, and of course on the Philly side, everyone's talking about Nick Foles and his future, right? What are just your initial thoughts?
Nick Foles has been riding high for the last couple of weeks, and you know that he kind of had that same magic from last year. So a lot of people were in a deja vu. You know, Saints were down by 14 in the first quarter. So it was like, wow, can he do it again? Can he lead the Eagles to the promised land once again? But you got to give it up to the Saints, man. You got the defense and the offense. For one, you think if you can hold the Saints to 20 points, that's a game you should normally win because the Saints are a pretty high-powered offense. Their defense is somewhat – sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they give up a lot of points. But we got to go back to the offensive side. Michael Thomas, man, he had 12 receptions for 171 yards and a touchdown. At this point, I think we got to start considering him one of the top wide receivers in the league. If not top five, top three, where you guys put him at? I want to say he might be top three at this point because he's consistently dominant. He doesn't drop many balls, and he always performs on the big stage. So I honestly believe he's got to be considered one of the top receivers in the league now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. You know, Michael Thomas led the NFL with 125 catches, I believe, in this season. And had a Saints franchise single season record of 1,405, 1,205 yards, receiving yards. And, you know, he's going to continue to get better. And here's the caveat to all of this. Now, I know here in Atlanta, you know, it's all over. Julio Jones is kind of like, you know, disgruntled, and, you know, he has been asking for a contract, and I know Falcons got some decisions to make. You know, they got Grady Jarrett, and then they got Julio. You know, Julio's still up on the contract. They may not sign him just so they can sign Grady Jarrett. But the scary thought is if Julio were to leave the Falcons and go to New York.
Oh,
that would be scary. Mm-hmm. That would be scary, yeah. So, food for thought, everybody.
Now you got us excited, Tyro. But, I mean, just think about it. I mean, that would be an epic duo. And you guys, I mean, Ray, to answer your question, I've been watching him since he came out of Ohio State. I've always been a fan. I think he's been underrated. And I'm glad he's finally getting his chance to shine. Let's look ahead to the NFL championship game for first up. Patriots at Chiefs and Rams at Saints. Let's just give our pick. So I will start with you, Ray, on this one. Patriots, Chiefs. Who wins and what's the final score?
All right, well, you know, my heart is saying the Chiefs, so I'm going to go ahead and rock with the Chiefs. Granted, the Patriots were able to get them earlier this year, but both quarterbacks performed well. Patrick Mahomes had 4 touchdowns, 350. Tom Brady had 340 and a touchdown. But I feel like Patrick Mahomes has matured throughout the season, and I also believe that the Chiefs' defense will perform a little better. Granted, they have a little couple of injuries. They're a little banged up, but I think overall they have performed better than they would perform back in earlier in the season. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the Chiefs on this one. And weather-wise, you know, it's wintertime, so it might be a little colder. So I don't know necessarily believe we may have the same type of shootout, but I think we can still get into the 30s for both teams. So I'm going to probably go with 33-30. Let me pull for the Chiefs on that one.
All right, I'll switch it over to you, Tyrone. Give me your final thoughts on this game and what the final score will be.
Well, again, we know the first meeting. The Chiefs put themselves in a hole, 24-9 hole, but Patrick Mahomes, you know, he refused the Chiefs offense and got him back into the game, and it ended up being a 43-40 game. So I'm actually going to go with another high-scoring game. I think it's going to be very high-scoring. I say 45-38. I'm going to go with my Patriots.
Okay, we didn't expect anything less from you, Tyrone. But I like the final score. Now, for me, I'm really looking at this game, and I'm hearing both your guys' points. But, I mean, so one thing everyone's keeping an eye on is the Arctic blast that is expected to hit Kansas City for this game. It could be the coldest game in Kansas City Chiefs history. They talk about the cold weather playing experience. And I think with this Tom Brady's experience, as much as I like Patrick Mahomes, I just don't know if he's ready for this big stage and what Tom Brady and the Patriots bring. And honestly, as a person who's been watching Ravens games my entire life and covered the team, I know not to doubt the New England Patriots. So I think I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. I think it's going to be pretty close, though. I think we're not going to have a good game. I'm going to go 30-21. All right, let's switch over to the other side and let's go Rams and Saints. I'll start with you this time, Tyrone. Give me your final score. And who do you think will come out victorious?
Well, again, I think the Saints playing in that dome, they're just unbeatable to a point. You know, anytime you're playing at home, you know, you get a little opportunity for your food to digest. Everything is laid out for you. There's no rush. high scoring game in a controlled environment. Again, I'm looking in the 40s, so I'm thinking 43-40.
43-40. All right, I'll switch
it
up to you, Ray. Give me your final thoughts.
I agree with Tyrone on this. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. I think it's going to be definitely a shootout. Both quarterbacks played well last time they played. You know, Breeze had 4 touchdowns, and Goff had 3 touchdowns. He threw 1 interception. But I think both teams are just going to air the ball out. Their running games are both dominant. I could see the numbers getting up into almost high 40s, almost 50s, really. The dome, you know, the weather's not going to be an issue at all. They're going to have the spotlights on them. I feel like Jared Goff may get outshined a little bit by Drew Brees. I think the Saints will pull this one out. But I'm going to go with, like, probably close to the last score, of the previous score of the game, 45-40. But I definitely believe that Drew Brees is going to definitely outperform Jared Goff. I feel like he's been in that stage before. The lights aren't going to be too bright for him. He's at home. I don't know if you guys seen some of the videos online from this previous game against the Eagles, but that home crowd was going crazy in that stadium. And they're just going to be so energized. There's going to be so much energy in the building. And they're just going to be on a roll, and they're going to feed off that. And then you're going to see them in the locker room doing their dance and chopper style all day. It's going to be an exciting game, though. I really look forward to it.
The party's going to, I'm going with you. I think they're going to be partying in New Orleans, and especially in that locker room. I think the final score is 38-45. Definitely Saints way. I mean, the season that Drew Brees has had, setting records, breaking records, I just think there's no stopping him. And I can feel it, and I feel this team riding for him, the city's riding for him. And I really don't know if there's any way to stop it as much as I would like what the Rams are doing. I would actually like to see the Rams win, but I think the Saints are going to they're going to be partying. I think they're on their way to Atlanta for the Super Bowl game, so we'll definitely have to keep our eyes on that.
But check this out.
Go ahead.
Check this out real quick. They say the last time the Saints won the Super Bowl, right? They lost to the same 3 teams during their Super Bowl run that they lost to this year. So,
interesting.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, so that's very interesting.
The stars are aligned.
So, you know, they go out in, in New Orleans, you know, they have all the spells and the whatever it is that they try to shake and make people, mess up. So I'm pretty sure they're going to have everything working for them. But that was basically, you know, something that was shocking, that surprising. The 3 teams that they lost to were the same 3 teams they lost to this year that they lost to in a Super Bowl run.
Very interesting. Now you have all of our superstitions kicking in, Tyrone. We'll have to definitely keep an eye on that. But staying on the NFL, the other big news is Kyler Murray. Everyone and their mom is talking about his decision to enter the NFL draft. He threw his name and he announced it on Twitter himself, which I like, on January 14th. And of course, everyone's talking about the Oklahoma Sooners quarterback and reigning Heisman Trophy winner who has now given himself the option to choose the NFL over Major League Baseball, where he has a contract right with the Oakland Athletics, which includes, guys, a $4.66 million signing bonus. None other than Adam Schefter reported that the paperwork was submitted Friday. Let me go to you first, Tyrone. What were your thoughts when you initially heard that he will be entering the NFL draft?
But the way I look at it is he's got best of both worlds. He already knows what he's going to make in the Major League Baseball. And now it's to see where he falls in the NFL draft. And it's kind of like having down payments on 2 houses. You know, you just try to find out which one is going to give you the better deal. And you like both places. He likes the NFL. He likes the Major League Baseball. So basically, putting his name in the draft really doesn't solidify anything. It just says, hey, I just want to see what my work is in the NFL. And whichever one brings the most money, that's where I'm going to go. So I believe where he falls in the draft is going to determine what he chooses and how the contract is worked out.
Well said. And I think just staying on that, something interesting to note, I mean, some people are criticizing his decision, right? Even calling him selfish. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think he made the best decision for himself. And honestly, I think that's the best business decision, because why not just at least put your name into the draft and see, like you said, like Tyrone said, to see what your value is. He's anticipated being a top 10 pick. So he can easily make that money that the A's were going to give him just by entering himself in the draft and getting drafted pretty high. At least in the NFL, he'll know he almost will play almost immediately. In MLB, he may not play right away. He may go down into the AAA. He may be in the minors for a little while. But the NFL is almost guaranteed stardom. He's going to be the franchise quarterback with them taking him so high in the draft. So why not at least put your name in there, see what teams think about you, get what your value is, and then play it from here. You could always do both sports. Russell Wilson, he's actually signed to a Major League Baseball team, but he's still the starting quarterback of the Seahawks. But during the offseason, he still goes with the baseball teams and trains with them. Granted, he doesn't play any games with them or anything like that, anything serious, but he's still assigned to that particular team. Kyler Murray may potentially do the same thing and be able to juggle both. Oh, you got Bo Jackson, and then, you got the historical primetime Deion Sanders, who's done the same thing as well. So why not try, put your name in there, see what your options are, keep all your options open. Don't close any doors and just play by ear. See where it takes you.
But this is something else that I look at, too, that probably I would say he would lean more towards baseball. When you look at the hype, like Russell Wilson, Ray brought up, I think Russell's like 5'11". They say Kyler Murray, they give him 5'10". They say some say he's close to 5'9". I think Doug Flutie might have been the last quarterback at that stature. And you saw every time that Doug Flutie played, it was a moving pocket. And with the run-pass option, that would fit his style. I don't think he would be a classic drop-back quarterback because those offensive linemen, those guys are like 6'5", 6'6". So, it would make it hard for him. So it's going to be interesting to see how he falls in the NFL draft.
Yeah, all eyes are on him. And I like the point that Ray made. I think people forget Russell Wilson all the time. And Ray just brought up that point. Then you also have Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, and Brian Jordan, who, of course, he juggled possibly playing in the NFL and baseball at the same time. But I said that to say, I think Kyler Murray, I think you guys said it right. He is weighing his options, which is something we all do. We all want what's best for us. And it's a gift that he's even talented at both these sports. Now, I'm excited for his decision, but I do think, it puts him in an interesting situation, right? Because this decision will not necessarily stop him from choosing baseball, but now, I think he's putting pressure on the A's. Ray mentioned it, to possibly give him a major league contract with more money, right? In case they don't want him to play football. So I think it's a smart business decision, and then I think he's making what's best for him. Right? Tyrone, you brought up the tight as well as something we're constantly talking about. You're right. I hear closer to 5'9", more than likely on a good day. But, who's to say how anything will pan out? But I do think all eyes are on Kyler Murray. I'm glad he's controlling this decision, and I hope he has the right people around him. And only time will tell what's next for him. The sky is truly the limit for him. So, again, he's just super talented. So excited to see what's next for him. Now, staying on football, another person that people are talking about is Kareem Hunt. If you haven't heard the news, the Chicago Bears have now basically left open the possibility of pursuing the free agent running back, who, of course, was released by the Kansas City Chiefs back on December 1st. If you guys remember that TMZ video that surfaced of Hunt shoving and kicking a young woman in the hallway of his Cleveland residence. He's currently still on the commissioner's exempt list and would need to be reinstated before any team could sign him. But the Bears head coach said he has a relationship with him, right? That dates back to Kansas City days. And basically, he said he just spoke to him a week over the phone and just said he kind of talked to him and seeing what's wrong. But some people are really looking at the Bears and not liking this decision. Now, I will start with you, Ray. What are your thoughts on possibly seeing Kareem Hunt to sign back to an NFL team?
I said it earlier in the year. I figured that he would be back by next season anyway because the NFL has a short memory. Pretty much, they'll shun you right now, look down on you right now, but once everything, the media attention and all the turmoil dies down, then another team will bring you back on. Similar like what they did with Greg Hardy. He was able to come back to the Cowboys once his situation kind of died down a little bit. Teams want to win. He's a great running back. He was dominant when he played, and teams want to take that chance because they understand that winning pretty much cures all. Fans will have a short-term memory when the team starts winning. If it works out, it works out. The interesting part about it, though, is that they already have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, so I don't necessarily see a spot for him. Jordan Howard's a little inconsistent, so I can kind of see where that could fit in, but you also got Tariq Cohen. So my question really comes in, where is he going to get his carries from? Where is he going to get his playing time from? But I definitely anticipated him joining another team. I kind of expected that.
Yeah, you brought up Jordan Howard, and I think people just kind of looking at him. And as you said, you're kind of looking at that running back situation. But of course, Howard is entering the final year of his contract. And this year, he rushed for a career low 935 yards. So that's something to keep our eyes on. But that being said, do you see a place for him, Tyrone, with the Chicago Bears? Or do you see him probably better fitting with another NFL franchise?
Well, he's going to fit wherever the money sits. And he's a talented guy. Anytime you can get someone that can catch the ball and run the ball, you can put them, that's a three-down type of back. And that's what Kareem Hunt offers Chicago Bears, a back that can stay on the field all three downs. And the way I saw some of the football games going towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, fourth down. So he's going to be wherever the pay is best for him. Just kind of like we talked about Kyler Murray, wherever the pay is, that's where he's going to go, whether it's with Chicago or if it's with another team. But whoever gets him, they will get a dual threat. And just like this country, you know, this country is always open arms, kind of like all state, the good hand people. We're the good hand country. You know, if you make a mistake, if you're trying to escape from a climate that is conducive to negative effects on your life, then this country opens up our arms. So, again, we're just seeing, like I said when we first started talking about this, you know, Ray Rice, you know, he was the guy that ran to the wall and got the nosebleed. You know, he softened up the wall, but he softened up the wall for the to the point that the NFL could not turn a blind eye to it, the situation of domestic violence, and they had to do something about it. So now we know that domestic violence is not going to go away, just like concussions are not going to go away. So you can't keep, like the prison system, you can't keep throwing people in prison just because they do something bad. So we got to try to rehabilitate them. And because Ray Rice and I'm pretty sure other guys have done it before, and there are women who, you know, are domestically, you know, violent as well. But this country and people, we all know that we make mistakes, and this country and the world is good, especially this country, about trying to give people an opportunity. So he's going to bounce back, and I hope that he's just learned from the situation of the past.
You know, I think you both make great points. I think we all know Kareem Hunt is a talented running back. There's no one that can say that he's not, but I do think we live in a world where we're judged, quite frankly, for what we do. And you said it, I mean, the Ray Rice situation forever changed the NFL. And now, I mean, we live on this stance where people can judge our actions. The Washington Redskins saw with Reuben Foster, essentially the fans went on a social media attack, and we saw the Washington Redskins change their mind. Now, of course, things have changed with that whole case. But I think the Kareem Hunt situation, I think the Bears are looking at him. I think other teams are too. I think we're now kind of being more forgiving. But I do think we're living in a time where the Me Too movement is stronger than ever. And I think people are saying, hold up, NFL, you have to do more than just put the color purple up during Domestic Violence Month. They need to do more. And since the NFL is king of sports in this country, I think everything that they do, the PR branch is looking at very safely and very securely and making sure that they're going to have to somehow prove that Kareem Hunt learned his lesson. If they don't get that job done, then I don't know if any NFL team will have the ability to put him on the field and also expect fan support. But it'll be something we keep our eyes on. We'll have to go to a quick commercial break. I know this conversation is heating up. So we'll be back with my Doing It Big in the DMV segment after this quick commercial break.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. I'm your co-host, Ray Jones. I got the one and only Kelsey Nelson and two-time Super Bowl champion Tyrone Poole with me. Before we move on to the next segment of the show, I got a quick joke for you guys. What do you call four bullfighters in quicksand? Quattro.
I have no clue.
Quattro cinco.
Quattro cinco.
That's cute.
In the
That's
sand.
Cute.
Quattro.
Hey, I'm a feed y'all one of those every week now. I think I'm a beast with those. I Googled that one,
and God.
I could not stop laughing. I thought it was hilarious. So I'm going to try to give you a big funny one.
This might be Porter. This might be Porter. You got a little chuckle.
That chuckle was my green light, so now I know I'm good to go with it. So I'm going to try to give you guys a good fresh little joke every week. All right. So let's get right into it. Kelsey doing it big in the DMV. Kelsey, take it away.
Yeah, so first I have to represent each and every week for the DMV, of course, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. I did have to put that disclaimer out because every day on Twitter I keep getting someone that keeps asking me, you guys, am I talking about the DMV for the, what is it, the cars? So I had to put that out there. I thought everyone knew that. Obviously, it's not a big thing around the country. But anyways, let me get into some Wizards talk where right now everyone here in D.C. is going crazy bonkers because the Washington Wizards are heading overseas to London, where they're actually there now, to play New York Knicks, which they will play on Thursday at the Q2 in London. Now, the Washington Wizards are kind of surprising that they're trying to turn their season around, but I don't know if we should be as excited, right? Because even if they beat the Knicks, I mean, let's be honest, the Knicks are 10-33, they're 14th in the Eastern Conference, and you guys are like the worst team in the league next to the Chicago Bulls. But that being said, Ray, what are you most looking forward to in this London trip as the Knicks take on the Washington Wizards?
Well, first, ma'am, I want to start off. I will not stand by and let you slander my Knickerbockers. That's one. That's not. We're not going to do that, okay? Because we are not in last place. The Cleveland Cavaliers are. Thank you very much. We have a
better. Right, you and the Bulls and the Cavs are just, yeah, y'all disappointed us, right?
But let's be clear, we are not in last place. That's my only thing. I don't really have much ammo after that, but that's not the point.
That's all you can tell.
But hey, you know what? When we understood that when Kristaps Porzingis got injured, we knew this was going to be a down year. It was a good opportunity for a lot of our young guys to get some playing time and to just kind of develop a little bit. So we understood what was going to happen. However, this is going to be definitely an exciting game in London. There's always big turnouts when they go to London, whenever the NBA comes over, whenever the NFL goes over. The international audience always supports the sports from America. So I definitely think it's going to be a huge game. Granted, it's not the best two teams going over there, but any game over there is going to be great. It's going to be a good town out.
It will be good. I mean, the Washington Wizards blew out a lot of people, including their cheerleaders, to go over. And, yeah, I mean, honestly, Ray, I think at this point, the only thing that you guys could be saying in New York is Zion, because maybe you guys just tank and try to look for Zion. That would be exciting for the New York Knicks. But I will switch it over now to Tyrone. Tyrone, are you excited about anything in this game? Or is the NBA, what they just do with these two teams over there in London?
Well, again, just like Ray said, you know, sports is about capitalizing on opportunities, and the NFL is going overseas. Of course, they got basketball overseas already, and, you know, to bring the brand of the NBA over just gives fans and, you know, internationally an opportunity to see American basketball up front. But what I look at, when I look at the Washington Wizards going over there, of course they go over there to play New York Knicks January 17th, and then when they come back, they got, like, it seems like their schedule is compounded. You know, they got they got Detroit January 21st, then Golden State the 24th, then Orlando 25th, San Antonio 27th. So it's like they're gonna have to, that jet lag, they're gonna have to really get themselves back into the mindset of letting their body calm down so they can get into the mindset of continuing to win. Because right now they got a one loss, whereas before, I think the last time we talked about them, they were, you know, pretty good as far as the last 10 games, 6-4, I believe. So this flight over to London is going to really take a toll on his body, on their body. So it's going to be kind of, you know, a test to see how they handle the next four games after they come from London.
Great point, Tyron, as you said. I mean, that jet lag is real. If you've been overseas, you understand that. And athletes that make that trip, that's something they always complain about. But I will say the bright spot for the Washington Wizards, other than, of course, Bradley Beal, who has stepped up, is Thomas Aransky. He just notched his first career triple-double. So glad to see him step up. And then Thomas Bryant, that center, that young center, has stepped up for the Washington Wizards. So keep your eyes on them. Now, I don't want to switch over to some good happening in sports, but I don't think we talked about good things happening in sports enough. I'm going over to my Kelsey's Do Good, where I'm very excited to talk about the story. And I have to give a shout out to Ray for actually notifying me of this great story, but if you didn't know, Kansas City Chiefs guard Jeff Allen actually ran into some trouble trying to get to the game against the Colts on Saturday. His car actually got stuck in the snow, and guess what? He wasn't able to get out until a man named Dave came by and actually helped him. And Dave did not know that this was a Chiefs player that he was helping, right? He was just doing it out of the kindness of his heart. The next day, Allen went on Twitter saying he was trying to find Dave so he could thank him by getting him none other than AFC Championship game tickets. And guess what? Of course, Porter being who they are, they found him, and they found out that he lived with his girlfriend and dog in the old study Suburban that he used to pull Allen out of the ditch. So now you guys, if you're following along before, yes, it was a homeless man that actually used his house, but he was living in his car, to pull Allen out of the ditch. Now, Dave said he's never been to a Chiefs game, even though he's a Kansas City native, and everyone's just talking about this story because it is talking about how sometimes people do stuff out of the kindness of their heart. So I'll start with you, Tyrell. And I mean, how does the story make you feel?
Well, it just goes to show that, you know, you can't judge your health by the package that it comes in, because there are people out there who, you know, don't look like the people that will help you, but they really are. In a situation like this, you know, finding out that it's a homeless guy, again, if it was me, I understand. I'm pretty sure that the homeless guy would say this too. He would probably say, forget some tickets. You know, I'm living in my car. You know, give me some help over here. So if I was the Kansas City Chiefs organization and the NFL, which I know they have the pockets to do it, you know, at least try to find out how you can help them financially. But our tickets are good. You know, hey, go to the game. But let's add something else to it. You know, let's try to help them. You don't have to put them in a mansion or anything like that. But, you know, try to find some other ways to try to help them prolong their life, not just for a Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Ray, what about your thoughts on that?
It kind of helps me restore faith in humanity right now because, you know, a lot of things going on in the world, and you just like, just disappointing. Just kind of makes you like, okay, you know what? There are some good people still around. And I agree with Tyrone. Let's give him another opportunity. Let's help him out. Maybe help him find some work. Potentially that could be an issue why he's homeless or living out of his truck. Or just maybe find him somewhere to stay for a little while. It doesn't have to be nothing huge, but just help him out outside of just the tickets. The tickets are a kind gesture. Just help him out otherwise, because obviously that one day is going to be one day of fun. But after that, he's got to go back to his real life. He's got to go back to reality, yeah. And let's get him in, let's put him in a better position to do something else, and to be able to kind of give back to somebody. And I just, like I said, it restores my faith in humanity. So I felt good once I read it. I was like, oh, I got to tell Kelsey about this. I know she'll love this story. So it was all good.
I did, Ray. It melted my heart. It was the best thing I honestly heard all day, because I don't think we hear enough about those good stories. And I really like the story because it shows that someone doesn't always have to do something because of who you are. The guy didn't even know who the guy was. I loved even that they were different races from different backgrounds. Like, it just shows that humans are humans. And when you want to do something good, you can do something good. And we need more stories like this. Because as you said, Ray, there's just so much going on. But as you guys both said, I would love to see it be more than just tickets. I would actually like to see us get this guy some help. I mean, no one deserves to not be living in a car. I hope they're really able to help him and his girlfriend and his dog get the resources that they need. So just a smile over everyone's face, because there are some really good stories in sports. And now I'm going to switch over, though, to the other side of sports and my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment, where if you guys haven't heard, everyone's talking about Clemson University's football team's White House visit. So if you didn't hear, earlier on Monday, President Donald Trump has told reporters, unprompted, of course, that he is serving McDonald's, all right, Wendy's, and Burger King with some pizza. And he said he was serving this because he thinks, I think that would be their favorite food. So we'll see what happens. He wanted to host a fun event to celebrate the college football national champions, the Clemson Tigers. And if you're wondering why this happened, some people are saying, well, because of the shutdown, as you guys know, the government shutdown that is now in its 25th day happening, some of the catering staff wasn't on hand or on site. So some people are saying maybe that's why he ordered it. And then some people are saying, well, no, President Trump is telling that he actually is paying out of his own pocket for this food. So I will start with you, Ray. When you heard this story, I mean, let me just go to what were your initial thoughts?
I mean, this is kind of a sensitive subject to me, so I don't want to go too deep into it. I just think it's interesting the choice that he made, the Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King. I would think that maybe the team nutritionist might not be too happy with that menu selection. Like, that's a lot of bad food for you. Tyrone, what's your thoughts?
I think you pretty much said it all, Ray. A touchy subject, so I don't want to, you know, add too much more to it. But, you know, with the shutdown, government shutdown, so, you know, people are not working. So, of course, this is the second option. It's almost like when your power goes out, you have no options to cook, so you have to go to the fast food, and I think that's probably what happened in this situation here. But I know he probably, the president, would definitely have done a better job of providing nourishment for athletes or anyone to that point. So, but no, it, you know, at least they got to go to the White House.
And you know, someone who's covered the championship teams at the White House, I think it's such a great and extraordinary event. I never take for granted that I've had the ability to be in the White House, because I know not everybody's able to go inside. But I think you brought up a great point, Tyrone. I'm happy they did get to go in there. It is a tough subject, but I am kind of like, right, I kind of busted why those food choices. And I was thinking the same thing, right? Like, what in the world was their nutritionist thinking and their trainers? Like, you got to work this off, right? You got to hone that music. You have to prepare for, but I think it was all in. I think it was all in good fun, and it's just interesting, right? But as long as the team had fun and they're happy, then I'm not going to complain. All right. So, Clemson, I'm glad you guys, you know, got to do that. What a great game! And we'll move on from that one. But definitely something interesting, and definitely something everyone's talking about. And that being said, I mean, make sure if you guys want to talk more, I mean, tweet us. Use hashtag Listening with KNN on social media and give us your thoughts and opinions. We're glad to engage with you guys. Now we have to switch over to the ladies in sports with my Woman Crush Everyday segment, where we're going to switch back to football. And Sarah Thomas would be a name that everyone now watching the games this weekend should know, because if you didn't know, she was the first female official to work in NFL postseason history. Yes, in 2019, she was the first female official to work in NFL postseason history. She's a mother of three. All right, and she's married, living in Mississippi, and she said it. She said, you never know. You know, you never know, but you never expect it. But when it comes, definitely answer the call. All right, I'll start with you, Ray. Seeing Sarah Thomas make history this past weekend, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, this is huge. This is monumental. She's a legend at this point. One day we'll be mentioning her in this week in sports history, because she broke a lot of boundaries, broke down a lot of barriers. She set the tone. For now, we can bring a lot more women into the game, be official. She's actually good at her job, because she was able to make the playoffs. You know, they have referees. They have the regular season referees. And once you perform well, you get evaluated. You make it to the playoff referees. So she's obviously done well at her job. So kudos to her. Kudos to the NFL for allowing this to happen, as far as pushing her through and getting her on there. And maybe they'll put her in the Hall of Fame. She definitely needs to go in the Hall of Fame for this, for being the first and the only at the moment. So salute to her.
It's exciting. It's exciting. She's been a referee since 1996, and she officially joined the NFL in 2015 now. Words of encouragement have been pouring in from everybody, from W. Dean King to the former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador, Nikki Haley. I mean, the accolades do not stop. And that being said, Sarah, as someone who played on the field, I mean, could you imagine if you were playing and you got to look over and see a female NFL referee in the postseason? How would you have felt?
I wouldn't think of it. Not one bit, because actually all I see is stripes. I think what I want to see out of this is the fact that I don't want it to turn into, like, you know, a guy thing, woman thing. Guys can do this, women can't. Women can do this, but men can't. You know, this world is supposed to be free America, so whatever you choose to do, you know, if you're good at it, then you should be able to do it without any barriers. But I think at her age of 46, she has opened the door, and I think you're going to see younger women referees, because usually when the first one does it, they set the standard, but wisdom gets better, so it filters down, and more people see that, hey, I can do that. So I think you're going to start seeing more younger women pursue, you know, NFL or any type of sport refereeing events. So it is good to see that, hey, anybody can do it. If you had a passion for it, then, hey, go ahead and do it. If you got the wisdom for it, the passion for it, go ahead and do it. I'm all for it. So your question in the beginning, it wouldn't matter to me who was out there on the field. As long as they didn't throw no flags on me, then it's all good. So but all I see, all I see is black and white. That's all I see is black and white.
Until you see that flag come out. I understand. It's all love until then. And also, if you guys didn't know, fun fact, she also became the first female official to work in a Big Ten stadium in 2011. So she just continues. Rick Barrios, and I thought this was also fun about her. She previously worked full-time in pharmaceutical sales. So I'm afraid not to say, it doesn't matter where you start, so long as you mention her age, it matters where you finish it. And she's truly living out a dream. I will say the only thing I did not like about this story, and believe me, I'm all for this, and everyone that knows, you know, I'm probably the biggest pro woman in sports that she'll ever meet. But she said one quote that really stuck out to me. She said, to truly blend in, if I have a ponytail, you know, then I separate myself immediately. So tucking in my hair, I blend in, and that's just another official. I like what you said, Tyrone. If she has the stripes, she should be another official. She shouldn't have to tuck in her hair or change anything about her. That's the only thing I would take away from. I think she should. Even if she had her hair down, as long as it wasn't interfering with her being a referee, I don't think it was a problem. That's the only thing I didn't necessarily like. I don't think you should necessarily have to change anything for anyone if you're qualified to do the job. I did want to bring that point up. And I'm very curious to hear people's thoughts on that. And I guess you can tweet at me if you disagree or if you agree at the Real K Nelson on Twitter. But also, make sure you guys listen to our show all the time after Friday and downloading us on iTunes and Google Play. We do don't discriminate against iPhones or Androids here. But Sarah Thomas, again, congrats on all you're doing. And now, Ray, I will switch it over to you because we need to know what's the move in sports.
I know I'm very excited for this upcoming weekend. You know, we got the WBA welterweight championship fight between Manny Pacquiao, the man, the Pac-Man. He's coming back to the United States for the first time in 2 years to defend his title against Adrian About Billions Broner. We all know Adrian Broner from his rants on Instagram, the internet, Twitter. He's a protege of Floyd Mayweather, but we're very excited. The fight will take place January 19th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. It's going to be on Showtime pay-per-view. Adrian Broner is 33-3-1, so it's going to be a very exciting fight. Broner is a former four-time division title holder, and he's looking to take Manny Pacquiao, so I'm very excited for this fight this weekend. I want everybody to make sure you guys tweet me about it. Let me know what you think, who's going to win, who's going to lose. I think About Billions, Adrian Broner is going to get him. I think Pacquiao might be a little old at this point. Broner looks hungry, and he knows that this fight is a career fight for him. If he loses this fight, he may be done. If he wins this fight, he could go ahead and talk some trash to Floyd Mayweather and possibly bring him back out of retirement. Broner's desperate. He knows that this could be the end for him. So I think he's going to pull it out. He's going to be the dog that he is, and he's going to get this fight.
It's exciting, nonetheless. It's very exciting. And, I mean, just to say that, you said it all. But, I mean, as you said, Adrian knows he needs to win. But I have to be honest with you. I'm not excited when I hear Pacquiao fighting anymore. He talks about it. He's been on a little hiatus. But, nonetheless, I will be tuned in. Tyrone, are you excited as well?
Well, you know what? Boxing is kind of watered down for me now since, I'm a heavyweight guy. So, I like to watch the heavyweight fight. But Manny Pacquiao, you know, he's been around as long as Mozart, so, you know, it's kind of, you know,
that's how I feel. But it is what it is. I mean, it'll still be pretty good, but I'm kind of like you there. I'm not as excited about this fight. But Ray, I won't give you props. There's a way that you introduced it. It has me tingling inside, so I think it'll be a good one. But now, if you like to end every show, Tyrone, I have to put it over to you to give us the motivational quote of the week to keep us through this work week ahead. Go ahead, Tyrone.
All right. So since this is NFL Championship Week, I decided to go with today's motivational quote dealing with the NFL, 8 NFL most hated teams. Now, being an NFL fan is all about managing your love-hate relationship. These teams you love, and there are teams that we love to hate. Now, these are the teams you turn on sometimes when your team isn't playing just to watch those teams lose. In some cases, watching these despised teams suffer through defeat may sometimes bring us some pleasure, as watching your favorite team celebrate their victory. And emotional surrounding NFL games can sometimes turn you into a twisted individual, but don't think you're any different from the rest of us. We all have teams we love to hate. So, and in a particular order, we're going to go down real quick. The team 8 that is the most hated, in my opinion, the Oakland Raiders. Team number 7, the most hated, love to hate the Green Bay Packers. The New York Giants sit at number 6 on my list as a team love to hate. And the Seattle Seahawks, we love what Pete Carroll is doing up there. Number 14 is the Philadelphia Eagles. The number 3 team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The number 2 most love to hate team is the Dallas Cowboys. And everybody knows who the number 1 most hated team is in today's football, the New England Patriots. So again, with today's motivational quote, it is, when you choose to be successful in anything, understand that along with success comes haters and enemies. If you don't like upsetting people, then don't choose to be successful. The more success you have, the more people will dislike you. So that is this week's Tyrone Poole motivational quote of the week.
Well said, Tyrone. You spoke nothing but truth. So I hope everyone out there is for sure listening to you. I got Mary J. Blige blazing in my head right now, hateration, but guess what? It comes with the territory. So thank you for dropping your words of wisdom and inspiration on us this week. All right, Sam, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. We start to listen in each and every week from the shows that drop online each and every Tuesday at FoxSports1340AM.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for downloads on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to each and every one of us. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.